And that's how the First Lady got involved. She's got a son together that is a beautiful young man.
You know, upon further review, I just picked up on something that I didn't know the first time I heard that.
He said together.
He said did. Together.
He did acknowledge.
She has a son together.
Don't you think he meant to say we? But
yeah, but yeah. We have a she. But you know, I kind of get where this is. This was the anchor baby, essentially, if you want to know the truth. The Trump version of an anchor baby. So he knows a little something about the anchor babies, which is why he's opposed to them.
Oh, gee. I think Melania probably genuinely does really care about this issue. You start seeing kids younger and younger, and Barron's not all that far away from the average age of people who are vaping, right? And
right.
It's a really young
How
person.
How old is he? Because he's 13 now, I think. He is. Yeah. He's taller than she is.
So tall, right? He appears older than he even is.
Yeah, so he's 13. But you're right. This is that would be the age
when they start getting kind of curious about
grade,
it.
Yeah,
right. And you see, there's so much attention to the flavors involved. The bubble gum, the fruit flavors. The Juul starter kit actually has mint, mango, cream, and tobacco flavored. So if you buy the starter kit, comes with those four pods,
right.
Mango and cream.
Mango.
I mean, so those flavors, again, it's hard to argue this is not targeted toward children and that the only purpose of it is to help get adults off of smoking.
From chemistry sets to Juul sets. Gotta love puberty.
That's kind of where it's going, right? I mean, that's that. First of all, I don't want to eat mango, let alone inhale it. I'm not sure what goes on there. Why mango is such a hot item.
Well, and if you talk to the kids, they've done polls. They say, oh, I just thought it was like, you know, that's what it was, sort of like a fruit candy kind of thing, that there's nothing in it other than that.
I do know grown men, they've smoked the puff, the mango one. But I'm with you. I mean, it's obviously targeting a certain demo here.
But is there nicotine in the mango?
Sure.
Yeah.
All of them. They just happen to be mango flavored.
I think to me, too, is that people my age who never smoked growing up are puffing Juuls.
Right. And you see like the Game of Thrones stars talking about on social media. I mean, it's just that younger generation really is, you know, this is appealing to them. And to argue that it's quote unquote safer than cigarettes is a really difficult argument to make when people are ending up in the hospital with lung disease and lung issues and breathing problems and ultimately, what, six deaths now?
Well, coming up, Ryan Burrow is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour because there was a big bust up in Lake County, or I'm sorry, Kenosha County, Wisconsin, concerning these the illegal pods that are going in, which have other stuff in them.
Right. And I think that is the largest segment of the problems that they've cited so far in that one study, the New England Journal of Medicine, that the THC laced, like the home brews, that people are either mixing with the regular flavors or they're creating on their own, that those are a subset of the people having trouble. But they're also seeing that the people doing, it appears, just the pods that are available without the THC or home brew have also had lung issues.
It's a sad state of affairs in America right now where we have to say, kids, get back on the cigarette.
Right. Stay away from that. If
you try a Camel.
Right.
You know what, Ro? I think it's also confusing to people because you have two separate issues. You have lawmakers and people pushing for the FDA to ban the e-cigarettes with the flavors because it appeals to kids. And then you have the separate issue of people vaping with the THC. Mm-hmm. So they're two separate issues, but it does get confusing because they both use this vaping pen.
And there's a good amount of people who have quit smoking and quit nicotine as a whole after switching from cigarettes to
vaping.
To Juuls or vaping.
But they are, they're
not saying it's better or worse,
FDA
but they're
saying,
done.
I stay away from the vaping now until we figure out what the heck is going on here, because they haven't definitively linked it to anything. The issues that they're seeing in emergency rooms.
I'm confused because my suspicion here, we're all obviously confused, but my suspicion here is that they're going to link the majority of these incidents to, because the Juul's been around for a long time, right? This is what, at least, you know, the better part of a decade, that stuff has been available. So I don't think there are that kind of a product, at least. I don't know if Juul specifically, the brand, has been, but vaping products have been around now for a while. And now we have this rash of things. My guess is that it's going to be related to either cartridges that are contraband cartridges are coming in from overseas that have THC in them, or other, there are some cheaper version of the cigarette one,
mm-hmm.
or these exotics that are being made by other people, you know, and you know, like meth lab makers.
Potentially, yeah.
I guess you're going to find
don't know, though. Remember, there was the vitamin E oil that was cited as something they're looking into, that is just the way that heats up really hot, and that can't necessarily be good for your lungs. I mean, there are all kinds of things they're looking into. It just feels like when the FDA says stay away from it, it's probably a good idea right now, because you don't want to end up in the hospital. We've seen cases here in Illinois.
Like,
a young person died. Another guy, remember, he was talking from his hospital bed, 18 years old, about how his lungs appeared on an x-ray like the lungs of a 70-year-old man from vaping. So not the chance you want to take, right? Just not a good idea.
No. I'd like to know how old my lungs are right now.
Yeah, you guys should get an x-ray and check it out. Compare. Even without vaping. Sometimes we're surprised by these things.
I'd actually have to go through all my organs and see how they stack up to my chronological age. Because I can tell you right now, there's a few of them I already know are a little banged up.
Yeah,
so I'm going to work my way back through. There's got to be something like my appendix or something is the appendix of a 15-year-old, you know? I mean, I must have something that's working right.
That'd be good. Just get a full body MRI every month, and you can keep checking on
stuff.
See
what I can do. All right, we're going to check in with Ben Bradley coming up. But first, let's find out from Kim what's happening in the bottom of the hour in the newsroom.
Democratic presidential candidates will debate again tomorrow night. We'll tell you why this one is different than the others coming up.
Procon Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN TV newsroom, where he's standing by with the stories of the day and thoughts of the moment.
Well, at least stories of the day. I don't have too many thoughts this late in the day, but I shall do my best. Interesting, the city of Chicago finally getting around to trying to address the lakefront flooding and erosion problems that we've been reporting on for months now. In the next couple of days, they're going to install hundreds of yards of those jersey barriers, like essentially like the cement construction barriers along the lakefront to try to keep flooding at bay this winter. Of course, when the lake gets angry, these waves have been pounding not only the bike path, but sometimes, especially during winter storms, they can get up onto Lakeshore Drive. So they're going to be installing these jersey barriers in an attempt to try to keep the water at bay. But it's amazing to think about just in the last 6.5 years, 2013, the lake experienced record low levels. And in 6.5 years, Lake Michigan, water levels have risen 6 feet.
Isn't that crazy? If you think about it, and if you drive anywhere along the lake, and if you go into Indiana and Michigan and those areas, they have completely lost their beach entirely, and they've shored it up with rocks to try to protect the houses that used to be, 30 yards from the beach.
You're right. It's an amazing Grand Beach. I was up there this summer, and there is no beach in Grand Beach, Michigan. Long Beach has, seen beaches that used to be as big as a football field collapse down to where everybody's sitting on their, lawn chairs right next to each other.
Right.
And then,
on the water.
Yeah.
Even the big public beaches up there, the one in the Indiana Dunes or there's areas there where you have to get in the water to get past the rocks to go over the other side of the beach.
That's right.
And there's a big discussion about, is this cyclical? Is this climate change? Is whatever you do, don't ask Skilling. The rest of your day will be gone.
We love Skilling.
And in it tomorrow. But is
his assumption that it's more cyclical, or is there something?
Yeah, what was your takeaway?
Insidious?
Can you give us the Cliff Notes version?
I don't want to speak for him. I think, in just casual conversations, it's never just one thing, right? Mm-hmm. We've had, a significant amount of precipitation. You've had, there is a cycle to it.
Yeah.
But we've also had undeniable changes to our climate all over the world that, affect us in ways big and small. What I think is interesting is, we send our helicopter up this afternoon just to kind of get a look along the lakefront. And on this perfectly calm day, where there is not a 6-inch wave along the Chicago lakefront, mm-hmm. the water is up on the bike path a little bit. Mm-hmm. Imagine what's going to happen, you know, when we got a 40-50 mile an hour wind this winter.
Oh my God.
And it's, you know, a little lake effect storm pushing in. So that's what the city is trying to get ahead of.
I don't like it.
Yep. So Marcella Raymond's going to have that story for you this evening.
Can't just somebody just go down and pull the plug for a little bit? You know, like in the bathtub, you do that where you lower the water level, then you put new hot water in?
Hey, don't put that past some municipalities that are a little cash-strapped and unhappy with what Chicago charges them for water. They're going to just, you know, come up with some sort of funnel and be like, hey, I'll help you with that problem.
I got you.
Yeah. Just
big
back in the water
straws.
Tanker right up. Beep, beep, beep.
Let's
next stop, Cicero.
Oh, gosh.
And then they'll be selling it to Burbank and Maywood.
My God. I drove through Cicero a couple days ago.
Uh-huh.
I stopped at every stop sign, counted to 3, never went over 30 miles an hour. I'm like, I am not going to, I'm at 10 and 2.
Yeah.
Because I know if I get pulled over, I'm going to spend at least 7 days in jail before I get my first phone call.
Right. Yeah. And
did you pick up your town of Cicero, Larry Dominick, president, emblazoned fleece?
I did, yes.
Those are for sale.
Yeah, $75 a piece. Yeah, I picked one up.
What a bargain.
Yeah.
And where that money goes.
Yeah. No, I don't think we have to wonder where that money goes. Anyway, let me just tell you, it's going to be a very wacky winter here.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of, as a news person, sort of.
Well, I thought you were going to put on your amateur meteorologist cap.
No, as a sort of news person.
You're wearing your press fedora now.
Well, yes, but as someone you know covers these stories when they get wacky around here, I think this is going to be wacky. I completely agree because it's not. I've been watching this my whole life. The cycle go up and go down on the lake. Right? We all have it. If you live in Chicago,
sure.
You get near the lake. This I've never seen before. And we have a bird's eye view of it here from work where we could see these breakwaters that are completely underwater. Mm-hmm. This is a lake level that is so huge. And you're right. Once, you know, it's bad enough like Oak Street Beach and Lakeshore Drive, the S-curve there, the windy curve.
Yep.
And then also the other place where you can get flooding is coming off of North Avenue Beach, I mean, south end of North Avenue Beach, it breaches over that and goes right into Lakeshore Drive, Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, it's wild. So the previous record high was set back in 1986. So that's what we're flirting with here.
Yes.
And to your point, we've seen a lot of boat accidents this summer, and it's because big parts of the breakwater there out in the water, you can't even see them.
They were
because the water levels were so high.
In 1986, that LaSalle Drive extension that takes you to Lakeshore Drive was flooded out a number of times in the fall into the winter of 1986. So I imagine that that's going to be very common this year.
And that's not, it's not even like the city could market that over the winter. You know, if it's got like 10 feet of water in there on the lower Wacker Drive, maybe you could do the kayaking that they normally do out on the river. Have like a Venetian gondola.
Or
a kayaking lessons.
Yeah.
You know, down there.
Yeah.
It's
next
nice.
Stop, lower Wacker Drive in the basement of Marshall Fields.
Gotta tell
some
you,
call it Macy's.
I gotta tell you, there's gonna be it's gonna be wacky around here.
It is
gonna be wacky.
What a thing!
There's gonna be a moment where sometime around the second week of December, Lori Lightfoot is gonna look at her wife and go, "Why did we do this?"
Oh, you don't think that's happened already?
I don't.
Come on.
I don't. I think it's right about then, because right now they're still in that moment of, this will probably be all right. You know,
she's been mayor since May. I would guess that happened in June. You know, right after the coolness of like cutting 5-6 ribbons and getting in free to a show. Then you're like, oh, really?
She was at the candlelight vigil at the police memorial
last night.
Mm-hmm. And she made a very nice speech. It was a very, you know, she, but, you know, that is a John-eyed crowd that she's talking to right there, right? Because she was on the police accountability board and all of that.
Right.
So,
and she's in the middle of contract talks with the police department.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that, but it was a very warm reception. You know, it was the beginning of a kind of a nice, what I think should be a nice moment, right? She's also got the fire department, too, that she's in the contract negotiation for.
She's pushing back on some big issues with the firefighters, right down to staffing. levels on engines, which is always a big issue.
Right.
But you only need to look, I think, at how the Chicago Fire Department, equipment-wise, responds to, you know, a heart attack downtown. They bring an entire fire truck down because they don't have enough ambulances.
Right.
And the firefighters are cross-trained as paramedics, which is a good thing.
Best.
But you can see, you know, there is kind of a, things are a little out of sort in terms of
right. the use of
staffing
resources.
And response.
I understand. And equipment, well, equipment to staffing to response.
Yes.
Right? I mean, response
times
are great.
Yeah, three things.
Right. But I will say that we are so blessed in this city to have that organization. Even police will tell you that now, which, you know, they like to yell at each other, but they know this city is the safest big city. If there's an accident, if there, you know, your chance of surviving a shooting, an accident, or whatever it happens to be, a heart attack in this city, so much better than any other major city in the world because of the Chicago Fire Department.
And every day, the police and firefighters are responding to incidents most people would run away from.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Ben.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Let's
Thanks,
check in now with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News. What's happening? Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Brett Baer joins us from the Fox News Channel. Brett, nothing to see here. We just move right along.
All right.
So let's just start with the nation remembering September 11th, specifically in New York City and in Washington, D.C., where you live. And obviously in Shanksville, Pennsylvania as well. But, you know, the major events are happening there. A lot of people, I think, obviously New York gets the lion's share of attention, but the Pentagon, you know, that is a very solemn space where that plane went into the side of the Pentagon on September 11th, and it's a pretty big deal in your town.
Very much so. And the ceremony there was where the president spoke this morning, and the defense secretary. I actually started my career that day in Washington, called up to back up in New York and rerouted to the Pentagon doing live shots for Fox affiliates around the country that night with the Pentagon burning behind me. So it changed my life. But for the lives of all these families who lost loved ones, and really, if you think about it, all the people and families who've dealt with everything post 9/11, all the service members who went overseas, it's really amazing when you think back 18 years, how much has changed since then.
Well, yes, how much has changed, and also how strange this whole period of time has become in terms of what are we going to do. We're still in it. It was only 3 weeks after this date 18 years ago that we went into Afghanistan, right?
Right.
I mean, that's where the first action in Afghanistan happened. We lost our first American personnel there, a CIA warrior, essentially, was the first one to be killed there. And, you know, and we have been there ever since. And now, you know, you wonder, and I wonder from your sense of what's going on in Washington and what the reporting for Fox News Channel has been, is the chance that the Afghanistan peace process it's been totally derailed here as a result of what has occurred?
I actually think it's not totally derailed, because the president has a goal to get U.S. troops out, and that is a goal he campaigned on, and that really is the only way to make that happen and have all the partners buy in, as if there is a peace process. So there may be a stall, there may be a cooling down period here, but I would imagine that these talks are going to continue, not at Camp David, though.
Right. That never seemed like a good idea.
No, let me ask you something related, because the president gave us more detail today on John Bolton and his departure. He started out nice, saying, yeah, I get along with him, really like him, but then went on to kind of mock him as a tough guy, saying so tough he got us into Iraq, said he was way out of line on Venezuela. And on North Korea, he set us back very badly when he brought up the Libyan model, seeming to indicate that Kim Jong-un had a really bad reaction when he talked about after denuclearization. We saw what happened to Colonel Gaddafi. and that that was taken in that way by the North Koreans. He really slammed him from a policy perspective and seemed to be happy, you know, hey, he's gone. It was it was an interesting way to phrase things and very more descriptive than I thought he'd get on that.
Yeah, I think he wanted to make clear that he was the initiator. Bolton disputes that, and who knows whether we're going to see the next tell-all book from John Bolton. But it is clear, and I have reported independently, that Bolton was kept out of some of these meetings, kept out of the Afghan meeting, kept out of the South Korean meeting about North Korea. In fact, one effort was he was sent to Mongolia to see if Mongolia could be, you know, a possible spot for a summit because they wouldn't let him in the meeting to talk about the next summit. And so it became a problem because he was polarizing and allies didn't want him in the sensitive talks.
Well, all right. You know John Bolton, right?
I do.
He worked at Fox News Channel. And, you know, maybe one day again soon. I don't know. If I were...
I have nothing on that front.
I know, but if I were... I don't know if you don't, but I would just like to say that if, you know, if there's executives at Fox listening, I think that would be a very interesting get. But here is the...
You go on Tucker all the time.
Here's the interesting thing. Do you think that John Bolton, having been around Washington forever, he is certainly an animal of this entire process, right? He's about the academia that surrounds the conservatives in America, the policymakers, the think tanks, all of that. He knows them all. He's very well connected. Is it possible that he starts to, you know, join the anti-Trump forces as a result of this? Is that a concern, do you think, for the people inside the Trump camp?
I don't think so. First of all, I don't think John Bolton is like that. I think he's more in the mold of a Jim Mattis or a John Kelly, who probably will wait until this president is not president to say anything on the inside, if I had to guess. But I do think that it's an interesting dynamic where John Bolton was the evil, you know, a guy that was trying to bomb everywhere, and one day, and then the day that he leaves and the president says he fired him, suddenly he is portrayed as the guy who had morals and stood up to the president on, you know, a U.S. interventionist kind of outlook. It's all a perception. The same thing happened to Steve Bannon. He was Darth Vader, then left, and then he became, like, you know, high in the media spotlight. I don't think Bolton is going to come out and talk all that much about the inside.
He said, "I'll have my say in due course," which many are thinking, well, maybe there will be a book.
We don't know.
Democrats seem to, you know, they're on one hand, you see Illinois Senator Dick Durbin saying he was not, he wasn't a good pick for this position. They weren't in favor of him from the beginning, but we're holding our breath now because we do not want a yes man. Very concerned that now the president will pivot to someone who just goes along with his own foreign policy ideas and really doesn't get to bring their own ideas to the table. Do you think that would happen?
You know, a national security advisor is about facilitating ideas and to put different things in front of a president. It really took on a prominence in Eisenhower's administration and to hear differing points of view so the president can make a decision. Right now, the point person on foreign policy is Secretary Pompeo. And there's even a rumor up on Capitol Hill and in this town now that Trump may go with the Kissinger model, that Nixon essentially had Kissinger as Secretary of State and National Security Advisor, the same job, at one man, which may be why the Secretary Pompeo was so giddy at the press conference yesterday. He had a big smile on his face that Bolton was gone.
He really did.
It was like the happy dance.
Right, he looked like he just got into Harvard, you know,
like Christmas,
you know,
this morning
without
right.
having to join the crew team.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, though, but the president today in his availability said, hey, well, you know, there's five people here that, mm-hmm. you know, that people really want the job. And Jared likes one. And later on, John Roberts reported that Jared likes one. Ivanka likes one. I mean, it's almost the apprentice model for this.
Yes.
Isn't it? I mean, I don't know if I like that either.
Yeah. All of the guys that are in the loop there, the five names and three of them we had on Special Report last night, I think, you know, have been around the block, not only in foreign policy circles, but in the Trump circles. So that's the most important thing for a national security advisor, which, as you know, is not Senate confirmed. It's the president's choice.
Right. All right. So as we kind of head forward here, you do wonder if. And I would imagine Pompeo would be that is a model. I don't think most presidencies, you know, after Nixon should model anything after Nixon. You know, the Nixon model is never something you want to say.
Yeah.
Right. But there is, but, you know, Pompeo does seem like one of the few folks in, you know, that is around Donald Trump that is able to understand his personality well enough to communicate in a way that doesn't agitate him, but, you know, may move toward responsible policy. Because Pompeo, it appears by all reporting, is a responsible guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, spent time on the House Intelligence Committee, was well-respected there on both sides, was obviously the CIA director before becoming Secretary of State. And he, you're right, has the ear of the president. He opposed the Taliban meeting at Camp David, but did so, obviously, in not as aggressive way as John Bolton. Maybe he's the Trump whisperer when it comes to foreign policy.
Hmm. All right. Okay. We will just have to see what happens here. All right, Brett Baer, Fox News Channel. Thank you, sir.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Brett.
It.
We'll see you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let us check in now with Kim Gordon. What's happening in the newsroom at the top of the hour?
Roe, the Trump administration making plans to pull e-cigarettes off the market. We'll bring you the details coming up.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis coming up in just a few minutes. Kim Gordon's got the news for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then after that, Ryan Burrow is going to join us. He's been covering this story out of Kenosha County, Wisconsin, where there was a bust of what appeared to be these vaping cigarette canister container pod capsules. What do we call them?
Pods, I thought. Are they pods, guys? Do you guys know?
That's I've always heard them as just pods, yeah.
Pods.
Or cartridges,
cartridges,
I guess.
Cartridges, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cartridges, I think people refer to the THC ones as cartridges. And the pod, bro, yeah. Can we get a cartridge? and I think the pods are for the, like, just the nicotine ones.
Yeah. Well, maybe the cartridges that are the problems. Might be the THC ones, or, you know, there might be, some dope sitting around in a former meth house who's, you know, screwing cartridges together and, you know, putting fish oil into them or something. And the next thing you know, it's causing all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, it could be.
I think that's probably the case.
I think it is. You know, this may get focused in on a specific style of homemade cartridge manufacturing. And or, you know, from a single source before it's all said and done. I mean, it does seem to have a lot of the hallmarks of a mystery that will be solved.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think they'll get to the bottom of it. There are so many cases, unfortunately, for them to study at this point. You know, there's 450 in the first group, and you've got more and more people, you know, going to emergency rooms since.
And the age groups that seem to be affected the most are younger age groups, which also is an age group that can't legally purchase them.
And I was talking
how are they getting them?
Ha, very excellent point!
Well, go to the Juul website, and it'll just make you click. Are you over 21?
Are you
under 21? And you just click under 21, and you can send a kit to yourself, the starter kit to yourself.
Over 21, you mean?
They don't even get the
robot. If you're under,
question?
But you hit over.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I was at a birthday party last night, and there was actually a pulmonologist who's a mom, and she said that kids in, like grades, late grade school are actually, you know, talking about this stuff. And certainly in high school, by then, you know, it just becomes so popular at such a young age. It's pretty troubling.
Oh, all right. Well,
another thing to worry about.
I'm just, like, every breath I take now, I feel better about myself.
Because you don't vape.
No, because I have a breath. That's all. I'm counting
your
them.
Your lungs
now.
Are good.
Yeah, the ones that where I'm actually inhaling and exhaling, I feel good about it. All right. Well, we'll find out more about that after the news coming your way in, too.
It's the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. We're talking about the Trump administration talking about a ban on flavored e-cigarettes, and after another death in the vaping world. And everyone's still trying to get to the bottom of exactly what's causing it. But the administration and the president today said that it's very close to Melania's heart and that they believe that young people are getting a hold of these. And for the meantime, let's get rid of the flavors and let's tell everyone to stop the vaping. Ryan Burrow is following the story and tells us what's going on here.
Yeah,
Ryan.
There are really two stories going on, right? The first is this epidemic of the youth who have been using these products. And many people believe that the youth have been using these products because of the way they're being marketed, because of the flavors that are being used. We talked with that Gurney teen last week, and he said, you know, while these devices were designed to wean people off of cigarette smoking, mm-hmm. adults, chain smokers who, you know, were looking to get the nicotine fix but get off of smoking instead because of flavors like lemonade and cherry and
mango,
strawberry, mango, unicorn
cream.
Milk. It's essentially introduced an entire new generation to nicotine that never smoked cigarettes in the first place.
Remind us here, because I think a lot of people are feeling right now that the major problem is with the black market versions.
Yes.
The THC stuff that sort of made, there was just a Wisconsin guy, I think Kim had it in her news, about, you know, he was raided and busted for creating these fake cartridges or these unapproved, unregulated cartridges in his, you know, garage, essentially. So there are those that clearly we can't say are safe. And then there's the others that are more the reputable brands, I guess you could say. Is there a difference?
Exactly, because you've got a generation of 15, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds who are using these products. How are they getting them?
Right.
They're not walking into a store and getting them because they're not old enough to do so. So they're getting them in other locations. What happened in Kenosha today is the sheriff told us that they busted a guy, 20 years old, who had 32,000 of these pods, these cartridges that he was injecting with THC, high levels of THC. Normally these things, I can't remember what the normal is, but he was putting a gram in there. It was 157 times the potency of what the normal THC products have when they're sold legally. So they don't know how many of these he sold out there. They don't know where it went. They're looking and diving in deeper to see if maybe these pods, these cartridges, have anything to do with the hundreds of people who have gotten sick and the six people, maybe seven now, who have died.
Well, let's go back to the process here. So people can go and buy the empty cartridges anywhere, like, I guess, on the internet, right?
Sure.
And then they come from China, I'm assuming. I mean, it's like all the things that we're afraid of come from China. And they and you can just make these and sell them on the black market. That's it. It's as simple as that.
That seems to be at least the direction they're pointing out. And you could tell the sheriff was really cautious with his words. He hasn't really done this before. Like he even admitted this is all new to him.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, they're used to going in there, guns drawn, pulling bricks of cocaine out of places, not cartridges of. And they did find guns and cocaine and other things, but all of these cartridges with THC in them. And then they started kind of putting things together and realized that this 20-year-old's been selling these things and making probably hundreds of thousands of dollars.
The Gurney teen who you interviewed, who said that his lungs look like a 70-year-old's on x-rays, did he admit to vaping for a long time? Did he say he used the THC-infused product? What was his story?
Yeah, but he does admit to using that. And he said that about a year and a half. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. So, yeah. And what the president has done
was it an over the counter?
THC.
But it was, we don't know where they got it. It was illegal.
He was not old enough to go into a normal vaping store on the corner and purchase that.
So he's buying it from some guy.
He's buying it from someone who's over 21, who I don't know whether or not he knows they're legal or whether they've been injected. And that's part of these illnesses. They haven't made a connection yet. How much have these people been using this product? What product have they been using? How have they been using it? They still haven't made this connection between all of these people who have been sickened yet. And that's what they're trying to get to the heart of.
Well, that's why you hear that maybe the White House is moving too quickly on this. That is the one criticism I've heard, is that wait until you figure that out, because a ban on vaping or a ban on most flavors will send it underground, and it's the black market stuff that you don't regulate that's causing potentially more deaths or more problems, and then that's where it all exists. The kids won't stop doing it.
And of course, the American Vaping Association also says that it's going to destroy small businesses. It's going to send the ex-smokers back to smoking cigarettes because they're not going to be able to get the flavors that they're used to as they try to wean off of cigarettes. I mean, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, but a cigarette's not killing you tomorrow. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's killing you, you know, in a couple thousand tomorrows, but it's not, you know, not immediately.
And we don't have the research to see what these e-cigarettes are doing a generation out. Right. You know what I mean?
That's the other thing. I mean, drawing that, there's got to be something about drawing superheated smoke or vapor into one's lungs that can't be good. I mean, it's just not good for you.
Just seems intuitive.
Right.
I'm also interested to see what they find, because the devices, the tools of which delivers these pods into the lungs vary drastically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like driving along the street and seeing a Toyota Prius compared to like a Hummer, because some of these devices people walk around with are massive. They can barely fit them into their pocket. Other ones are tiny little jewels. I wonder, too, the impact each one of those is having as well.
That's a good point. I mean, those are being studied
as well.
So many
different versions.
Just teach the kids about the one hitters. That was the way.
Back in the day, that's all it was. No one got killed.
So what the president said today is he has authorized the FDA to begin drawing up these guidelines to end the sale of these flavored pods, these flavored cartridges.
Right, which that have clearly designed to...
Yeah, I mean, that's what the argument has been. He's gotten support of Senator Dick Durbin. When have you seen those two on the same page? It is interesting to see him do that, because this is a generational thing. Now, we don't know what kind of when I say generational, I mean it could be something that lasts beyond this presidency to continue that ban. I don't know who's going to... We'll hear from the debate tomorrow whether there are any Democrats who said, no, don't do that. I mean, from a political standpoint, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of teeth these guidelines have when they're finally
written.
Well,
they can do this by guideline. They don't need an act of Congress at the moment.
No, and not as of now. And I believe it's May of next year when they actually have to have something that can stick
a
little bit longer.
Sort of, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure that all of the people in the vaping industry came into it with the complete and most altruistic reasons. They wanted to help people wean themselves off the evil tar of the cigarettes that is linked to cancer, and that though they know that, you know, poor innocent nicotine, you know, is always taking it on the chin for, you know, for just being just being the passenger in the tar car, and that this is a way that they can go and give people what they want. People want the nicotine, and by the way, the tobacco farmers would like to have the people on the nicotine, and the nicotine industry would like to have the people on the nicotine. If you've just happened to see what is a great movie, which is now got to be close to 20 years old, Thank You for Smoking. I mean, it tells you everything you need to know about the tobacco industry. It has been one of the most evil industries for 100 years, because it knows exactly what it's doing. And there's not a single thing about the cigarette that is good for you. Right. So their idea was, hey, well, you know, we're still going to go with the nicotine, so we're going to go with this. Whatever happened, I don't know. Can't the kids just get on the Nicorette?
The patch?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, or something. I mean, it's crazy. And I know, we talked about this yesterday. One of the things is that, you know, it's like the cool kids, right? It's like, you know, the cool kids smoke. That makes you adult. That makes you different. That makes you dangerous. You know, makes you all those things. And now it's the vaping thing. But it's the same sort of level of disgusting, except your clothes don't smell funny.
Well, the one thing that Senator Durbin said, which is interesting, earlier this week when he told the FDA, do something or get out of the way, is he said, you know, we're hearing advertising, we're seeing advertising from these companies like Juul saying, look, this is dedicated. This is not for kids. This is not intended for, you know, it's for chain smokers in their 50s who are trying to get off of cigarettes. But he pointed out that these ads that you're hearing and seeing aren't on the teeny bopper radio stations or on MTV or you know, the places where the kids are. They're in the adult newspapers. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, on the adult radio stations. You know, it's not they're not telling the youth that. They seem to be targeting these ads toward adults, which I found was kind of interesting.
Well, you have to. I mean, by law, that all stems back from, you know, our dear friend and colleague here, Walter Jacobson, and that, you know, that whole era of the 1980s in which there were lawsuits going back and forth between media and tobacco companies and allegations of, you know, 60 Minutes and allegations of the kids being targeted, and they go, no, we're not targeting kids. They weren't running Joe Camel commercials and Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. We were running them adjacent to Saturday morning cartoons during the sports block, right? I mean, that was the idea, is that they always lied about what their intent was. But they knew, and then eventually the memos came out internally from at least one tobacco company that said that, yeah, this what, you know, they needed to stay alive as a business. Because their product was killing people, you needed to find new fresh bodies to sell your product to,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean there's no nicotine is not helpful in any way, and I refuse to allow anybody to compare it to alcohol here. I will not.
Why is that?
It's very helpful.
Because you enjoy
alcohol. Very helpful to people. Yes. But But nicotine, there's no ceremonial piece. There's nothing that nicotine intrinsically does to make your life better except addict you to it. Right? I mean, there's all kinds of other ways to get the soothing effects of nicotine or to, you know, without having to rely on this. So this is ridiculous. All right. Well, this is really, I think we're on to the beginning of solving the mystery of this massive, very confusing, very scary for a lot of parents, health crisis in America.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that 20-year-old who got busted in Kenosha apparently told cops when they asked him if he vapes, he said, no, I don't use that stuff.
Oh, well, very interesting.
It's like the drug dealer, right? I don't touch the product.
He knows what's in it. Why would he use it?
I don't eat my own cooking either. It's just the way I go. All right, thank you very much, Ryan. Appreciate it. Great job, Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio News. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon, also WGN Radio News.
Roe Alderman Ed Burke's wife gets a promotion. We'll tell you if it'll affect his corruption case coming up.
And then there's this. Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe. Micah Mater and Joe Donlan. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Kev, are your parents loving the blazer?
They're loving the blazer. They just sit in it and they talk and they have conversations with it parked in the garage.
I love that.
That's it. They have their morning coffee while sitting in the car, the blazer, listening to WGN.
The blazer can talk back to you too. It's the most amazing.
Right, they have a new friend in their life now. Mm-hmm. So it's them, the dogs, and the blazer.
Mm-hmm.
They're loving it.
Okay. Tune in this Friday at 10 a.m. for the WGN Radio Walk of Fame ceremony with Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder as your masters of ceremony. Did you notice, Anna?
Yeah.
That they had us do that one year.
Once, yeah.
And then we haven't been asked back.
No, never. Happened several years ago. And did not get asked back.
There are four inductees who are all native Chicagoans. Two present-day voices, John Williams and Andrea Darlis.
Nice.
Andrea Darlis is going to be playing News or Ruse with us, mm-hmm. coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. And a man who hosted a show for 60 consecutive years.
Hmm.
60 consecutive years. Sam Weinstein, or Weinstein, actually. Weinstein. 10-pin tattler. Mm-hmm. It was a show. This is before there was podcast. This is the original podcast. This is a narrow-casted show solely about bowling.
Oh, that's the name, 10-pin.
Right. How about that?
Very cool.
That's something right there. I think Lauren should pick up the mantle on that.
Just because I beat you all in bowling doesn't mean I know anything
Not
about
only
it.
Beat us in bowling, also had several tips about how to improve individual right. bowling skills.
A lot of tips.
Right.
And they actually worked.
It's like shaking hands with the pins, she told me, and then all of a sudden I was
suddenly
like,
you were like, whoa.
I was, all of a sudden, I was Sam Weinstein.
You were, yeah.
Yeah, you went from what, like a 60 to a 120?
Did you have to? Really? Aren't some things secret around it? It's like a HIPAA violation that you just committed.
I will accept my punishment for it.
And, well, let's work on that. So call the punishment committee and find out what you get.
Oh, I'd like to be on that.
Get out of here, Ted Cruz. You have no say.
Following the Walk of Fame ceremony, also the behind-the-scenes staff member who marks 52 years at the station this October, Marlene Wells.
Yes,
who
very
is the
well
heart
deserved.
And soul of this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And
no
has made, and still to this very day, if you need anything, Marlene Wells, you know.
She'll get it done.
She's your guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you need, like, it's like, Marlene, I need tickets to a game last night. And she'll go, I got them.
I know, right? Anything. Anything that's going on,
whatever
she'll
it
figure
is.
It out.
She's got, yeah, she does. And then following the Walk of Fame ceremony, there's going to be an hour-long special, 11 a.m., focusing on the fun and conversations we've had over the past 95 years. 95 years of WGN. So tune in on Friday, 10 a.m., Walk of Fame ceremony, followed by the 95 years of Chicago Conversation. All the details, of course, are on the website, WGNradio.com/Walk of Fame. Right now, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News.
It's a clear and present danger to the United States.
The CNN original series, Declassified, returns. See the true stories of the agencies protecting us.
They're secrets for a reason.
Nobody is untouchable.
Mike Rogers hosts Declassified, Sunday, September 29th at 9 on CNN.
Oh, boy.
Looking forward to that.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. It's back.
Mike Rogers, longtime friend of the show,
mm-hmm.
who, even back from when he was in Congress,
yep.
so he went on to be, he was a former FBI bigwig, then he ran for Congress in Michigan, spent a lot of time in Chicago, he's got family here, he was in the Chicago FBI office, he then went to Congress and very quickly rose to the level of the chairman of the House Select Committee on Intelligence, which is a very big deal. And then he left public life, went into the private sector, and that's why you see him on the CNN with the Declassified, which, you know, once a year they run. How many episodes are you going to do here, Mike?
Eight episodes.
And
this is my favorite season, by the way. We kind of figured out how to do this. It's great. You're going to love it.
Now, what the promo for the entire season has been running for the last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like it's between you and Lisa Ling, where she's naked. I don't know which is a better set of promos, but I got to say that you're kind of driving a little nuts here because there it seems like a lot of different things. There's counterterrorism, there's domestic terrorism, there's all kinds of what is your favorite episode so far? For this upcoming season?
I have to say, I really like, there's a couple of really strong episodes. Well, I think they're all great, obviously. It's like a father. You
yeah.
love all your children equally. The very first episode is going to be pretty great because it was like a real-time event where they were chasing a terrorist down. He was ready to go, locked and loaded, had the bombs assembled, and was going to blow up the trains in New York.
Mm.
And he was driving there. To get there. And so all of the suspense and action was like a, you know, really like a Hollywood movie, the way it played out. But it played out in real life with real folks trying to put a stop to the guy. So pretty exciting episode. And that's the first one you'll see. Then there's some really other good ones in there. The first big cyber case, the Silk Road cyber case that actually the Secret Service did, had some international flavor and some government conspiracy stuff. And there's really, really good stuff this year. You're going to love them.
I love them all.
I
anyway,
do too.
Hold on one second. We're going to try and fix your phone. I don't know. What we do is we're going to rush somebody to Washington and have them actually fix his phone.
Here, stand over here, Mike. Stand right here.
Here, just give me your phone. Give me your phone for a second.
Shake it a little bit.
Jeff,
Jeff
Carlin, our long-suffering producer, literally is at O'Hare right now, uh-huh. getting on a flight, going to Washington.
He's fast.
He just landed in Washington. He just found Mike.
Good.
He's now tinkering with the phone.
He knows technology.
Yeah.
That's the nice part about Jeff. He'll be able to tell him what's what.
Oh, for God's sake.
Straight.
You know, it's simple.
Well, and there were so many details that he was talking about that are interesting. I just missed every other word.
Although I gotta say that Lisa Ling, I don't know if people, you know, watch the CNN, but that Lisa Ling show, mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, she's always
This Is Life, it's called.
Right. Yeah. So, and it's always about titillating things, like, you know, it's strippers and porn and you know, other the weird things. And that this is her, so she's got this whole thing about like nudists and porn.
Right. The first the season premiere for her is called Porn Ed. how pornography is shaping a generation's perception of sex and intimacy.
Oh, very interesting.
Very different than
all
Mike
right.
Rogers.
We got Mike's. The exact opposite of Mike's.
Definitely. You won't see me naked on TV. Okay. I can rest just assured. Nobody wants to see that. I actually want people to watch. That's the whole thing.
All right. And that is a week from Sunday, right? Is that when the premiere is?
It's 29th, actually. So
that's
it's
right, 2 weeks.
Two weeks of great Sunday. Suspense to watch the thing. You're going to love it. I'm telling you. It's a lot of fun.
It is an amazing job. And the thing is that you also have access to being able to tell that story in a different way so that, you know, you work with the writers and the producers and you figure out a way to what you can and you can't say. And again, it like as the title, you know, it not only implies, it actually does. It's right. It's this declassified information that you're able to talk about now.
Yeah. When I started this whole thing, and I'm a big believer in keeping secret, that my goal was not to break some kind of classified news. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to participate in that. But the stories this story just really hasn't been told. Tell it in a compelling way and through the voices of the people who live these cases, to me, is a much powerful way to bring a real case, give you a real idea how all of this works. And it's stuff you just haven't heard before. And then you see the emotion of the people who are actually trying to go through this event. It's really powerful.
You know what? I can't remember if you did this story or not, but there's a great story about the Chicago FBI office and the cartridge bomber, this guy, they one of the great designers of bombs, and when I say great, I mean just skilled, not a great person, obviously, in Yemen, was sending printer cartridges they looked like printer cartridges, but they were bombs, and the whole idea was to detonate the aircraft on its approach to O'Hare. And the story of how they caught that guy, it's long and it's detailed, and it was one agent in the Chicago office who just was so dogged of trying to figure out what the clues were about, about what the labeling, because they were able to stop this package, but only for a temporary period of time because they couldn't figure out what it was and what they had actually found on the packaging, which was, this guy's own sort of flourish to himself. That because all these guys have these egos and they want to, prove something is what cracked that case. And, those are the kinds of stories that don't get told.
Right. And they're the fascinating part, I think, of your series, because they get into details of the fine work of people in the intelligence community, of our law enforcement, and how they're able to crack these cases before they do damage.
I don't know if you remember the Ana Montes story. She was a Cuban, recruited very young in college, asked to go to work for the U.S. government, went to work at the Pentagon. This is a story we told. And was just giving away devastating information. And, of course, when she would give it to the Cubans, her agent handlers, they were passing it on to the Russians and the Soviets. So she was very, very devastating. And before we were getting to launch all of the operations into Afghanistan after 9/11, she had gotten briefed on all the operation plans. Now, can you imagine if all of those operational plans had ended up in Moscow? They would have, tried to bloody our nose just to see us fall on our face. Mm-hmm. And they ended up deciding to have to arrest her that night. But the purpose of that was there was one agent who worked in Department of Defense. He was a counterintelligence guy who for years kept saying, we have a leak in this organization, and couldn't get people bought in, candidly couldn't get the FBI bought in. And he just was painstakingly going through all of this data, marrying it up to the information that was getting released, looking at travel records for years of hundreds of employees trying to figure this thing out. And he's the one that kind of narrowed it down to this person, finally got the FBI to go, oh my gosh, I think you're right. I mean, it was a very emotional story for him because he was, people were saying, hey, I think you're a little crazy on this. He just kept right on this case, and he was really the one that flipped that case. And if it wasn't for that dogged FBI agent in Chicago or this dogged counterintelligence agent at DOD, these cases may have never been broken. And it had, dead people to prove it.
Yeah. True.
Speaking of Russia, I want to get your thoughts on the story that broke earlier this week. So much has happened this week. I don't even know where to begin. But let's go back to this, the issue of the exfiltration of the CIA asset. I mean, obviously, I don't know, you know, how much you can talk about this, but just in general terms, the idea that we had to we do move those assets around if we can, right? And this story, you know, is taken on a really, really kind of a political bent because the people who want to beat up the president are using it to beat up the president. That there's other people who are trying to beat up the Obama administration with it. But, you know, what is your thought on that? Just in general, when you have an asset like that, that is really at the very tippity top, right? Somebody who can take pictures, as it was said, of stuff on Vladimir Putin's desk. I mean, how valuable and how long can those last in place before you really start to worry about it and you got to pull them out?
Well, anytime you get a source with that kind of access, you go through this process. So let me just say that they didn't recruit him and he was in that office. This is somebody that was grown up into this responsibility and getting these jobs. And it takes years of development and talking and all kinds of things that happen during the course of a recruitment like this. And finally, something where he was probably worried about his ability to impact the Russian government in an appropriate way. He said, I don't think I can do it. The only way I can do it is maybe by betraying my country and telling them what bad things he's doing. That being said, once they get in this position, you have to remember every day there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of counterintelligence agents in Moscow with the FSB and SVR who are trying to catch people doing exactly what he was doing. And so, and they take it seriously. You're not going to get a trial. You're going to get a walkout back and and two shots in the back of the head. And so it is really life or death stuff. And the information is so sensitive because there's very few people that can get access to that information. And so just like the guy at the Pentagon I just told you to catch, Anna Montez, mm-hmm. Painstakingly went through that. There's somebody on the other side doing that. And if information leaks out publicly in any way, as an example, somebody walked in and said, President Putin, we have 50 trucks parked at the airport ready to go. There's only five people that know about it. He sees it. The report gets out and says 50 trucks are at the airport. Somebody's going to go, hey, wait a minute. We can start narrowing that list down about how many people had access to that information. And so it wasn't that somebody fingered the guy. What happened was there was enough information that got out, some publicly, some not, some in conversations, that they started saying, uh-oh, his life is going to be in danger. And the closer they get, the more dangerous it is. Let's just pull him out. And it happens before. This isn't the first time it's happened. It's just I've never seen one this public this soon after it happened that an agent like this gets exfiltrated. And by the way, every agent that they're handling, the CIA, is they have a plan to get them out. There's a pretty elaborate planning that goes into making sure that these folks get taken out and live to tell their story.
Well, we assume, can we safely assume that they're doing the same thing to us? That there would be people that in highly placed, like you're talking about Anna Montez. I mean, that should we always be vigilant? They're always vigilant about looking for people in the White House or in other agencies and, highly placed people and agencies that might be turning information in?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, the Chinese have really ramped up their human intelligence. You'll see a lot of FBI arrests within the last 3 years have been Chinese espionage efforts here in the United States. Really ramped it up. Russians the same way. They're working on Americans. Just a few years ago, there were more Russian intelligence officers in the United States than there was at the height of the Cold War. Part of that is because it was easier to get them in after the Cold War was over. But it just tells you the level of interest they have of recruiting Americans to do bad things. And sometimes it starts out very innocently and can end up just with lethal consequences if somebody is co-opted and they become a spy for the Russian government or the Chinese government. And we're doing these arrests all of the time in the United States.
Thank God. I want to ask you about, Mike, I want to ask you about the departure of John Bolton and what's to come now. I saw you made a bit of news when you said on CNN that the decision, Trump's decision to hire him in the first place was like speed dating gone wrong. What did you mean by that?
They were oil and vinegar from the beginning, and I know John Bolton. He's a very aggressive guy. He's very, you know, strong opinions about the way the world ought to look and how it ought to be. And you know, Trump had was completely on the other side of that for a lot of it. And so when he went into this organization, you know, you had outside meetings outside of the White House with other cabinet officials because they didn't want to talk to the Bolton, who's the National Security Advisor. I mean, all of that is very messy. And so I just didn't think he was the right guy to go in just by the way he operated as the National Security Advisor. That is a collaborative job. Your job as a National Security Advisor, and really, in many ways, it's the worst part of the National Security job. You're supposed to coordinate all of these agencies, right? It's in, they call it an interagency process, to get the best information laid on the president's desk so he can make a good decision every day about national security issues. And so that collaborative piece got missed in the Bolton hiring, and it just didn't happen. And so I saw that immediately, knew that this thing was doomed for failure, and it was.
Let's be honest. You know, we've all been around this block a few times.
Sure.
Obviously, the president, you know, he sees people on television. He likes what they're saying. John Bolton is a tough talker. He's a guy that a lot of the neoconservatives love, and that especially hawks love. He's like a take no prisoners kind of guy. Will go to war at the drop of a hat. And the issue was that the president wants, he likes the idea of being a tough guy. So today, when he was talking about this in the White House, he took a bunch of shots at Bolton for, oh, you know,
boy, didn't he ever.
Is he such a tough guy? Well, I'm a tougher guy. I believe in tough solutions. He wanted to talk about how tough he is, but the president was going to have the Taliban over to Camp David. I mean, that is not tough. That is, that's reckless.
Well, now you're really going to get me on my soapbox. The fact that they were by the way, and I opposed when Obama was trying to negotiate with the Taliban in a position of weakness. I opposed it then too when I was chairman, and I see what Trump is doing, and it's a lot like this Obama negotiation strategy, which was, we're going to tell them we want a deal, we're going to pull troops out, we'll give them what they want, let's give them anything we can do to get out. And that to me is really a dangerous way to do this. You never want to negotiate with these people. And by the way, when they invited them, they had been doing bombings, they being the Taliban, in Afghanistan just about weekly, and they were targeting innocent men and women and children. They were shooting up girls' schools, and they were allowing them to negotiate this deal as the United Arab Afghani Emirate, which, by the way, we have a Afghan republic there that's elected by citizens. And that, to me, was a slap in the face to every effort we had to at least try to give the Afghan people the security of their own country. And so I thought this thing was doomed from the beginning. I thought it was naive. It was dangerous. And, of course, had there not had the bombing a day before this meeting, I think it would have gone forward, and it unfortunately took the life of a U.S. service member. You cannot deal with these people the way that you would deal in a business deal. I'm telling you that you have to show strength. You have to show them that you're willing to finish the job if they don't want to come to the table. And we did that all backwards.
All right. Well, Mike, this is a long way of promoting Declassified, which is going to start 2 weeks from Sunday on CNN. It's a great series.
If
you like Clancy novels, if you like real life stories about, you know, what really goes on in national security and international security, this is the show for you. Mike, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, both of you. And by the way, if one of your listeners are confused that Lisa Ling might make an appearance without clothes in Declassified, you go ahead, go with that.
She does.
Yes,
to see she does.
If that really
yes,
does
I that. Saw it.
I like the joint promo.
Heard it does.
Yeah, I think you're gaining from that more than she is. I'm just saying.
I just want to say that Mike does not look as good in bunny slippers, I think, as she does, but that's a separate issue. All right, thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thanks, Mike. There he goes, Mike Rogers, certified badass. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom?
The planned documentary on gangster John Dillinger isn't moving forward. We'll bring you the latest coming up.
All right. That tells you it's 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN Chicago. And it tells you that we got the news coming up. We got a top 5 at 5 that you won't believe. And then it's a day of guys named Mike and Brett on this show. Mike Monaco joins us.
The Antonio Brown story.
Oh, gee.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. It's a civil case, not a criminal case, even though she's saying rape. Got to ask Mike about that.
Yes. But Mike has handled a few of these kinds of cases over the years.
I'm familiar.
For people. Remember, he was, for about a minute and a half, he was Juicy Smollett's attorney.
He was. Gave him some advice that Juicy didn't really like.
Right. So he will have his own thoughts on that as well. I think you're going to want to stay tuned. Kim Gordon is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.
Kristen Cavallari, Miss Jay Cutler, Mrs. Yeah. Jay Cutler, maybe he's Mr. KCav. She has just fired her publicist after what many people thought was a highly insensitive picture of her posting against the New York, picture of her posing in like a very seductive outfit in front of the New York skyline saying, "What a time to be here, New York City, for 24 hours. Always remember."
Tone deaf. Said, I'll never forget.
Low cut, high heels, the whole thing, and then and then tagged her own fashion line and Prada. And
oh God,
a couple other fashion houses.
Nothing like selling your products
and
a terrorist attack on America.
And the publicist,
a lot of heat on social
media. Is responsible.
Take it down.
For
she said that initially.
Did she take it down? Is it down?
You know, it's been changed just to say New York City for 24 hours. That's it. So the "What a Time to Be Here, Always Remember" reference.
Even that alone, with because there's cleavage.
You look at it. It's a very sexy picture. She looks great or whatever. It's just inappropriate given that sort of context. And I think a lot of people agreed, hey, look, just kind of tone deaf given this day and what that, conjures up in most people's minds. So she said that initially it was just supposed to say New York City for 24 hours. That's it. This particular staffer decided to add the reference to 9/11. That person's been fired. It's all over.
Well, that staffer might have been three on 9/11, right? Or four?
I think you still kind of get it, right? I mean, if you're in your
20s. I don't think so. I think we have much proof that there is the social media world has created literally children of social media. Not everybody, but those who are the children of social media that their whole life is about that. They walk into traffic on their phones. Those people, I think they live in some altered world in which there really isn't any sense of feeling beyond the selling, the hashtag world. It's always about likes, and it's about being liked and attention, and then trying to get enough attention that you put a hashtag up that you're going to get paid for it, as opposed to how we got here in the first place. Have a little sense of history, people. Read a book,
watch a documentary, do something.
Right. Even an ebook would be fine. Instead, it's e-cigarettes and hashtags,
vaping.
I don't know. I still think the whole idea of her on the New York skyline and the,
the low cut dress,
yeah,
the heels,
come on,
and the tagging of the fashion line.
Yeah.
Felt wrong.
Yeah. Put up some, be in the moment of this. Understand it. She's old enough to know.
She is. She's 32.
Yeah. She was, 13, 14 when this happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cut it out. All right. You know what it's time for?
Yes, we do.
Because trust me, there won't be anything that'll drive me nuts here.
Never is.
This is perfectly, perfectly understandable. Hold on. We're having it. Right. We got nothing but technicals around here. Now I think I got it fixed.
Good.
No, I don't.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five. Let's go. Four. Three.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. You say so?
Number five.
Well, during an Oval Office press availability, the president addressed yesterday's bombshell ousting of John Bolton. He did not hold back on laying the blame for foreign policy missteps on his former national security advisor.
Frankly, he wanted to do things not necessarily tougher than me. You know, John's known as a tough guy. He's so tough he got us into Iraq. That's tough. And but he's somebody that I actually had a very good relationship with, but he wasn't getting along with people in the administration that I consider very important.
Pompeo, just say it. I mean, he'll say everything else because Pompeo hated him, so he's got to go.
The guy who was smiling brightly the day he was fired, an hour later.
Right. And I like Pompeo. Makes me look thin. I like it.
Brett Baer was telling us earlier that there is one theory that he may take over both jobs, Pompeo. He would be take over Secretary of State and
the National Security,
National Security Advisor. He already is Secretary of State.
John wasn't in line with what we were doing. And actually, in some cases, he thought it was too tough what we were doing. Mr. Tough Guy, you know, you have to go into Iraq. Going into Iraq was something that he felt very strongly about. So we're right now in for over $7 trillion into the Middle East. And I don't say it was his decision. You had a president and you had other people also, but he was very out there, I can tell you, and wanting to have them do it. And I disagreed with that decision from the beginning, even though I was a civilian, so nobody cared. But I was out there. I was outspoken about it. I thought it was a terrible mistake.
But then you hired him, right? You're the guy who, even though you knew that history, you thought it was a terrible mistake, you still said, that's our guy.
By the way, Mr. President, you're still a civilian. That is just making that point perfectly clear.
We were set back very badly when John Bolton talked about the Libyan model, and he made a mistake. And as soon as he mentioned that, the Libyan model, what a disaster. Take a look at what happened to Gaddafi with the Libyan model. And he's using that to make a deal with North Korea. And I don't blame Kim Jong-un for what he said after that. And he wanted nothing to do with John Bolton. And that's not a question of being tough. That's a question of being not smart to say something like that.
So we're going to assume from that, I'm sure that's classified information in some sort that just got
auto-declassified.
But apparently, John Bolton did say to Kim Jong-un, you know, it must have been some sort of veiled threat about, you know, if you lose your nuclear weapons, you know, because remember Gaddafi.
After the denuclearization process was dragged out
over,
and
then he would, yeah, they dragged him down the street.
From a sewer pipe, remember?
Right, yes.
And he was, yeah.
Was on the run, so, but that's, I'm still uncomfortable, I have to say, I'm still uncomfortable with the president sucking up to Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un is totally right. No one says that. If any other president in the history of North Korea, since North Korea has been around since 1952, or I would say since the Kim family, let's say, has been running the joint. If anybody else had said that, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, let me just keep going, Reagan, anybody, Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, Obama, anybody had said that, there would be upheaval. I think we just throw our arms up and we're like, what is he doing? And I know, I mean, listen, John Bolton, everybody we've talked to in inside Washington here, and conservative Republicans are like, okay, whatever. He was probably not the right guy for the job because he's just an television bomb thrower is what Bolton had become. A think tank guy turned television bomb thrower. Fine. All right. But the president's a television bomb thrower and firer on The Apprentice. I'm fine.
Number four.
There's
a time for love and a time for living. You take a chance
and face the wind. Open road and a road. Alyssa Milano sat down with Ted Cruz, and it was just as creepy as you thought it was going to be.
There was a hug involved.
Yeah.
Was it too long? I bet it was too long. It's like an over. He hung on a little too long, maybe.
Don't let go. Oh, my God. All right, so they sat down. They talked about gun control. And, well, Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there were many breakthroughs, but...
Alyssa and all three of you, thank you for just having a real conversation.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I think that's beneficial.
Really, I really appreciate the opportunity. Please do something about gun violence in our country.
You have my word. I will continue fighting, and I want to stop these criminals before they carry out their crimes.
The thing that's been so frustrating for me is that we should celebrate bipartisanship. That's how it's supposed to work.
Absolutely.
We need to keep working towards that, even if it's not working there right now.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, very cordial.
Time to get out of my office now. Are you a stepmom?
Oh, gosh, Ro.
So you want to get a drink after this?
Oh, boy. Well, after the meeting, she was asked by Chris Cuomo, how'd it go?
I think he gets it. Now, to understand it and then to have the courage and the fortitude to do something about it are two very, very different things. So I'm cautiously optimistic that he knows the issue and hopeful, I guess, that he's willing to do something about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, no.
For sure. It was a nice
gesture.
Nice gesture. Yeah, but it's a photo op for everybody. It doesn't. The problem is there's two things that may make some sort of sense here, and they would be in terms of restricting people's access to either making sure everybody has to go through some sort of licensing,
mm-hmm.
and restricting people's access to the semi-automatic assault style weapons. That's the question. I don't think there's a Republican on earth is going to do that until the NRA gets outed as literally even if it got outed as a part of the Putin regime in Russia, right? Is like literally it's the Kremlin West. I think that there would be, there's just enough people out there that have been indoctrinated into this thought that they are somehow going to save themselves or their family against a hoarding U.S. military that's wanting to take them with their AR. I don't know. That's at least the way I look at it. All right, let's check in with Kim at the bottom of the hour, and we'll find out then what is going to be happening, and then the year 3, 2, and 1.
Roe, it appears the First Lady may have influenced President Trump to pull the plug on flavored e-cigarettes. We'll tell you why coming up.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Top five.
Number three.
Jimmy Kimmel took a shot at the Trump Store product lineup. You know, if you want to go to the Trump Store and get stuff that, for re-election campaign. So he has an idea for an action figure that looks like Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump Jr., he's so peculiar, he'll fight for daddy's love.
Hasbro presents G.I. Schmo.
Awesome!
DJ TJ doesn't run, fight, or work. But he comes with cool camouflage clothes and a vanilla latte with plastic straw.
Awesome!
He never served in the military, but he fights for freedom his own way. On Twitter, G.I. Schmo comes with a spray-on beard, a pile of daddy's money, and a helicopter to shoot elephants from.
He killed my little pony.
Oh. Oh. Wow. Took a dark turn.
Checking in at
number two.
Donald Sizemore's technique for fighting pushy telemarketers sure fits the bill, like many Americans. This Alabama man is sick of the constant interruptions to daily life, so he used his unique talent to get some revenge.
Hello? Are you there?
Is this the real Donald?
Yes, I'm Donald. This is Donald Sizemore. Who are you? Hello?
This is Laura from the
Indian Pharmacy.
I'm calling with regards to
peer mitigation. Oh, no. Am I in trouble? Hello? Hello?
Oh.
Are you here? Hello?
When does the telemarketer hang up on you? I guess that's how you do it.
When you're impersonating Donald Duck. You know what? I just figured it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Ted Cruz anytime a telemarketer calls.
Perfect. Absolutely will work. Every time.
How are you doing? I would like to avail myself of your special offer, but you're going to have to come over here. Take a meeting with me personally.
What are you wearing?
That would totally work, by the way.
So are you like a stepmom or stepsister or stepdaughter or anything like that?
Oh.
Oh, God. All right, finally.
Number one.
Today, Americans commemorate 9/11 with solemn ceremonies and vows to never forget. 18 years after the deadliest terror attack on American soil, victims' relatives assembled at Ground Zero, where the observance began with a moment of silence and tolling bells at 8:46 a.m., the exact time that the first hijacked plane slammed into the World Trade Center's North Tower. The President and First Lady laid a wreath at the Pentagon in remembrance of the 9/11 victims there. He also addressed the families.
Each of your lives tells the story of courage and character, virtue and valor, resilience and resolve, loyalty and love. This morning, we make a sacred vow to carry on this noble legacy. Today and every day, we pledge to honor our history, to treasure our liberty, to uplift our communities, to live up to our values, to prove worthy of our heroes, and above all, stronger than ever, to never, ever forget. We are now and will forever be one American family, united by patriotism, bound by destiny, and sustained by the faith of Almighty God.
It's the President of the United States at the Pentagon.
The Top 5 at 5.
That's right. It's Mike Monaco's theme.
I have a theme?
Yes, you do. It's the night court theme. Mike Monaco, our legal analyst right here on the radio program.
I like it.
How are you, Anna?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
He doesn't ask about me, but
no,
fine.
He knows you would go too.
You look good.
Too much detail.
That's what's going on. Coming up, Andre Darlis, 2019 Walk of Fame inductee, plays News or Ruse. I don't think you're going to want to miss this. I tried to get the 10-pin tattler. It's not easy to say. No, it's not easy, but he's being inducted as well.
The 10-pin tattler?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sam Weinstein is being inducted.
You really? A fan, Mike?
Mm-hmm. As a kid, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. My mother was a bowler. She loved bowling.
And the 10-pin tattler, he did 60 consecutive years
really?
Of a radio show. It's some record.
That's got to be.
Yeah.
60 years.
Yep.
Very cool.
Good for him. That's what it takes, bro. You'll be there. How many more years do you have, bro?
That's a good question. Yeah. Only 28 more years to go,
there,
Mike.
Bro.
I'm fine.
That's easy. Yeah. I'll be here. I'll be with you.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, you will. All right. Let's do this. Let's talk about Antonio Brown.
Oh, interesting week for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Antonio Brown is a, you know what he is?
Yeah, the best
football player.
Possibly the best receiver in the league. Possibly.
I don't know. Kevin, what were you on that?
I'll put him top two. He and Julio Jones are right up there for me.
Really?
Well, Kevin would know.
Hall of Fame type track.
There you go.
Okay.
Hall of Fame for other reasons, too.
Right.
Yeah. And Antonio Brown, what is this his fifth year in the league?
Oh, this will be his eighth year, I want to say.
Eighth year in the league?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. And things did not go well. Things that have not gone well. Let's just start with the football part here, just to get people all caught up on what happened. Antonio Brown's always been a guy who marched to the beat of his own drummer. Is that a nice way to put it?
Seems like a high drama player.
Yeah, we see that a lot with NFL receivers, and especially the star receivers. So, yes, absolutely.
Why do we see that more with the receivers than the running backs, do you think?
I think because the running backs are... They get the ball, and they run to the hole, and they plow their way through a linebacker. Receivers are, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. I want to be the star of the show, and they don't always get the ball, and then they get frustrated. Why didn't you throw me the ball? I don't know. You just see it more in receivers. I don't know.
I think you see it more in receivers because they're free agents. They're guys who are out roaming free and make the catch. The one thing about being a running back is the rest of the team has to go along with you on the play.
The team effort.
Yeah. The wide receiver, yeah. he gets beyond the team.
He just has to beat one man.
Right, exactly.
It's like the quarterback buys the offensive line dinner when they do well. So does the running back because they have to protect them from
these
big,
guys are
giant
just out
men.
There on their own, right?
And they're on their own little island.
Freelancers, So anyway, so he's got a big mouth and he's got a wacky way about him. And so he cuts this deal. He leaves his, long time team with Pittsburgh. Raiders. He ends up going to the Raiders, never plays for the Raiders, has all kinds of weird things that happen to him.
Didn't he not want to wear the helmet, the official helmet?
He didn't like the rules on the helmet, which he wanted to keep wearing. He burnt his feet in a cryotherapy machine because he didn't protect his feet properly.
Because he didn't put Crocs on.
He didn't put Crocs on, so he missed time while his feet were recovering, and then he feuded with the team and with the league.
Had an altercation with the team general manager.
Mike Mayock, leading some to believe he was trying to force himself out of Oakland to land where he currently is now.
In New England. Would Robert, a man like Robert Kraft, a man of great, and Bill Belichick, a man of integrity like Bill Belichick, they would never stoop to some level to collude with a troubled player. They don't need it. They've won 18,000 Super Bowls.
Well, and giving Tom Brady another weapon, I'm not sure he really needed it, but game on.
Well, Gronk's gone.
Isn't Gronk kind of threatening to come back? Isn't that what...
He has threatened to come back.
Yeah, I can't tell if he's completely kidding about that or if he's serious. You can't really tell with Gronk.
He certainly wanted to miss preseason.
Right. That's a veteran move. We've seen that quite a bit where veteran guys are like, I don't want to go to camp and sleep in some dorm for a month. So they show up in week two and they miss all the nitty-gritty stuff. I don't know. Maybe he'll come back this year.
Yeah, the Bears did that, actually.
Yeah, so they missed the entire preseason. Thank you, Mike. Look at that.
Very well done,
from
Mike.
From downtown.
Mike. Wow. Yeah. Legal advice and much more.
Yeah. So now Antonio Brown, so he signs with New England. $15 million, right?
And minutes after leaving
Oakland.
The Raiders.
Yes.
Say they're Oakland, but it's the Vegas Raiders.
Well, it's Oakland currently.
Yeah, but they're going to be in Vegas.
They will
next
be in Vegas. Yes, but let's just call them where they are at the moment. So he leaves the Raiders. He at the 4:01 Eastern Time deadline. He signs with the with New England. Not that and they had the terms of the deal already worked out. Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, is no dummy. They got it all.
They were ready.
They got it all figured. I think it's $15 million for the year. It's a 1-year deal, $9 million guaranteed.
Correct. $9 million guaranteed, exactly.
Yeah. So he gets $9 million, and then just a few days later, here is the allegation by a woman who is a trainer, right?
Yeah, she's a physical former trainer of his from Central Michigan. That's where they met, apparently.
Okay. In a Bible study group, I might add.
Yeah, that's right.
And she is now accusing him in a civil case of forcible rape.
Yes, she says in three separate occasions. First occasion, he kissed her without her permission. Secondly, he allegedly masturbated on her back without her permission.
Mike, people are eating. It's dinner time.
She was watching a
religious ceremony on an iPad. Yeah.
And third, that he raped her after an event where they went out together. They came back and he allegedly forced her and raped her.
Now, in evidence so far, there is a text exchange in which he acknowledges the second act that you
mentioned.
That you mentioned, and that it was, and he kind of sort of admits to it.
It's an apology.
But didn't he say it's consensual?
It's not an apology. It's him calling her every name under the sun.
That's not nice.
And saying that his baby mama always knew that this girl was going to be trouble.
Ooh. Oh. Well, apparently his lawyer is denying. No, his lawyer is claiming that everything was consensual.
Yes. What, Mike, why is it a civil case and not a criminal case?
It could be a criminal case. I mean, it's a civil case because she decided to sue him. Mm-hmm. I mean, just not unlike the case I had in California where I represented Derrick Rose and his two friends.
Mm-hmm.
That was a civil case.
Did it ever rise to a
criminal? No. And as a matter of fact, just prior to the trial, the plaintiff's lawyers published a letter that they allegedly had written to the DA in L.A. to question why he hasn't been charged yet. And that was really intended to sway the public as the for the jury service. But this could be a criminal case. We'll see. Now, it happened in 2018, so there's certainly
his lawyers say they have evidence to prove that none of this is true, and part of that has leaked, and it shows affectionate photos, not photos, video of the two of them. She's kind of dancing behind him, acting happy, kind of gets close to him, they don't kiss or do anything like that, but they seem intimate a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know, does that really say that he's not guilty or of anything?
Well, even if they had been dating for several months, of course, if she says no, mm-hmm. No means no, and so there can't be sex.
It
still can be rape. Now, but of course, these photographs make it appear that they had a friendly relationship, which is sort of, you'd think, adverse to a forced action by Mr. Brown, but it's hard to say.
So I just am wondering about the second act, which you earlier described. Is that a surprise move? Is that like you're on your iPad and you're watching a religious ceremony?
Yeah, she says, according to the complaint, she says that she was on her iPad, had no idea what was going on, and felt wet on her back, and that's when she went crazy on him.
Oh, well.
And then that's when the text messages came, to her, bragging about it to her, is the way she phrases it in the complaint, her lawyer's complaint.
Because in the lawyer's complaint, the text messages make an appearance.
Yeah.
And the should have a dramatic reading of the text message without... You can't really read the whole thing on the radio.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
But
you may not want to read any of it, actually.
No, you probably don't. You can just
no. We can just imagine,
understand what it's about.
But it was crazy. He's wildly angry at her.
Ah, well, he's
in
an
his
angry
text message.
He has anger issues.
Really?
Yeah, that's what people.
No one
say.
Had noticed that.
Yeah. The question is, of course, what about the $9 million? Because the contract that he signed has a clause that says if you do anything, take any action at all that materially undermines the public's respect for or is materially critical of the club or his teammates or the club ownership, which is interesting, the guarantees will be null and void. So does that mean he gets the $9 million if they don't want to give it to him?
I don't know in terms of the Patriots' standpoint on it, but the commissioner, he could also put him on the exempt list, which we've seen before.
Meaning he can't play
until they
investigate.
Basically, it's the commissioner saying, go away, let the legal proceedings play out. They don't have to forfeit an active roster spot. The Patriots don't. But they've utilized it before. I mean, as recently as Kareem Hunt with the Chiefs, Adrian Peterson.
You think Roger Goodell is going to just do anything Robert Kraft asks him to do? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, so I see that
I'm
happening.
Not saying if they will. I'm just, I don't know.
Well, it'd be interesting, though, about Robert. You bring up Robert Kraft because he himself had some issues that were potentially leading to a disrespect for the team.
But they were able to make that go away.
That on a technical ground. I mean, a technicality ground, not on a substantive ground that he didn't do it.
Right. Ming Fu Hulu, his...
I know. Were always very good with her name, I recall.
Yes, I think it was yes. that her name?
Is it, you had a
the
very...
Woman who owned the...
you had a terrific appreciation for her name, right?
Yes. Ming Fu Hulu, I believe, was the owner of the massage parlor.
Yes.
And he had a... He...
Kraft was there twice.
Kraft was there twice the night before and the morning of the AFC Championship game, which was in Kansas City, even though that was in Florida.
Yeah.
Just... literally a 9-iron away from Mar-a-Lago in a strip mall.
Yeah, what is that? One parlor. Has nothing to do with the other, Ro. What are you saying? No.
Oh,
anyway, but the NFL's response to this, I'm sure, it will be, we'll be some pressure to see what happens.
Well, we've seen the league, too, hand out suspensions, too, without any sort of criminal charge or anything, too.
Yes.
So that could go down. And then the contract is void. If you're suspended, you lose out on
this is not a criminal, as Anna pointed out, this is not a criminal action.
Or a conviction or whatever.
But this is not criminal at all. So just somebody filed a lawsuit. So we'll see if this leads to an investigation or not.
Well, the Ray Rice thing wasn't criminal either, but that certainly was something the NFL bungled and mishandled. And
that was on videotape, though. We all saw what he did.
And that was emailed to the NFL offices, apparently, just kind of forgotten about. But so in the wake of that, they've decided the NFL sort of says, hey, we're going to get tougher on domestic violence. We're going to get tougher on sexual abuse and sexual assault.
That's true.
But,
And as well they should, with the Ray Rice thing was terrible.
It was.
The whole world saw that.
She's meeting with them next week, is what they're saying. The NFL officials and this woman, Miss Taylor, are going to
That's another thing. I wonder why they mentioned her name. I mean, in the case I had out in California, she was Jane Doe all the way up until trial.
Maybe because she's his trainer and it was pretty well known.
Maybe.
She could have been identified.
May I just say, though, if I could just back to Robert Kraft.
Please, go ahead, Lou.
You know that the woman who was friends with Ming Fu Hulu, former owner, I guess, of the massage parlor.
Yeah.
Which are all legitimate businesses.
Oh, yeah. Especially in Florida.
Right.
A person needs a massage every once in a while.
Remember she ended up at the Mar-a-Lago Super Bowl party?
Yes, that's right. Right? That's right.
And there was another woman who was trying to get in to that party.
Oh, yeah.
Of Chinese extraction.
And she just got convicted today.
She did.
Yeah.
She just got convicted.
So we'll see what happens to her.
It's very interesting whether or not there is an espionage play there.
Ah, that's true. Because she had all kinds of funky
technology
with her when she got arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to break in.
I'm just saying.
Well,
Mike.
You're a conspiracy theorist then, right, friend.
I am, and I think that... And it would be really funny. I mean, it's God forbid that something bad happens to the New England Patriots. If this is the worst thing that happened to them,
Anna would cry.
I would be upset.
Anna would cry. Let's be honest.
Tom
about
Brady
that.
Would not address this because he said it was not his thing. That's not part of it. So this is
You've already asked him about.
Well,
this?
He's been asked. I follow Tom Brady.
God,
I have Google alerts on my phone. I know that surprises
Hi,
no
Tommy.
One.
Hi, Tommy. Hi, Tommy. It's me.
What does
Anna.
Tom have to say about it? Let's see.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Michael Monaco, attorney at law. Let's check in right now with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Rose, Chicago paused to commemorate the 18th anniversary of 9/11 today. We'll tell you how the city remembered that tragic day.
And traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
And now, the Rokon Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your Master of Ceremonies, Rokon!
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Our Master of Ceremonies, Rokon, is unable to appear this evening, but... I've got the reins, and Andrea Darlis is here in studio, one of the legendary players of WGN Radio, but that sounds like you're old. So I'm going to call you the other thing that I saw in the press release, among the greatest ambassadors of WG and Todd Manley. I will attribute that to.
Makes me feel better. That way I don't have to wear my cheaters. My new reading glasses for this.
This Friday, the Walk of Fame, you are among those who are being inducted into this prestigious group. We've got you, Ten Pin Tattler, Sam Weinstein, and Marlene Wells, John Williams,
yes.
Both all well-deserved. It'll be a fun day here for the station as we celebrate 95 years.
It should be. It's going to be a wonderful day. And just to be mentioned in the same sentence as everybody and people going in. And I was texting with Judy Pilak today, and she's like, what are you going to wear? And it's just very surreal. It's very
cool. How many years for you?
I was at WGN Radio. Well, I still am. 21, almost 22 years. It'll be 22 years in November.
22 years.
I know. Isn't it weird?
It is. What was Judy? Judy Pilak was.
She's been here.
I think it's 31.
31. Yeah. Wow. And she actually, my first day here, she, I don't want to say trained me basically. Mm-hmm. It was a Saturday, and she showed me everything and the equipment, and here's what you do, and blah, blah, blah. And her daughter called, and she said, no, honey, I'm training someone new. No. She's definitely not as good as me. Don't worry. Typical Judy.
Throwing shade right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
accurate. Was talking smack, as you guys know, Judy, from hour one. But then she bought me a Big Mac and,
Well, that's the thing about Judy. She would talk a big game, but one of the things she was known for that you're known for as well is just helping those coming up in the business.
Oh,
and there are just so many stories of people say, I interned there. Andrea Darlis was so wonderful to me. Judy was so wonderful to me. She, she helped train me. She helped get me. Show me the ropes. And
those are the stories, Anna and Kevin, that I hear that really make me feel so good because, Judy, really, Judy and I worked together 21 years, and I still learned from her, listening skills, interviewing skills, writing. She was, to this day, one of the best writers of news. Because, that's the most important thing. When you're doing a newscast, you have to write it. You have to craft it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I would turn to her for another pair of ears and say, Judy, listen to this sentence. What do you think of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I love when we have producers and news anchors and reporters who have gone on. I actually had an email from a news anchor from North Carolina. Cardike was my intern many years ago, and he's like, "Oh, you really helped me learn." And I think it's cool when I guess the younger generation kind of looks to you and says, you know, thank you for your help.
Thanks.
Or for your encouragement. Because I think we need to encourage young people and journalists and not look at it as, oh, they're going to take my job. No, you know what? They want to learn. They want to better themselves. So why not help them along?
Sure. I agree. I totally agree. And then they'll pay it forward one day as
Absolutely.
Well. All right. We've got to get to this game.
Okay.
The game with so many moving parts, I don't know what to do with it. But Kevin is going to help me by running the board here. So I won't be pressing any buttons. And if there are any problems, it's all on Kevin.
That's
it's
fine.
On you.
I'll take the blame.
It's on you.
That's fine.
All right. So we have Sue playing with Kim. Sue, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Jeff playing with Lauren. Jeff, can you hear us?
Yes.
All right. And then we've got Jim playing with Andrea Darlis. Jim, are you able to hear us too?
Good evening, yes.
All right. This we've got, let me just announce what the prizes are, and then we're going to go with the News or Ruse headlines. The winner gets a $75 certificate from Green Tea Home Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification system, or carpet cleaning service. Call 1-800-5-GREEN-TEA or go to greenteaservices.com. And the winner gets the $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at luminatis.com. Runners up, you get the $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. So everybody wins. Let's go. Sue and Kim, you ready? Here's the headline. Pro-Putin rapper sets record for unpopularity on Russian YouTube.
I have no idea.
That's honest.
Pro-Putin
rapper.
Careful.
Sue, I'm going with news. What do you think?
Okay. We'll go.
News. Final answer?
Yeah.
You got it. Right out of the gates. Very nice.
All right. Headline number two. Jeff playing with Lauren. Reindeer accident hospitalizes 12 soldiers in Lapland.
I don't even know if that's a place. Sounds like my home country.
That's what I thought.
Lapland. All right, let's go news, Jeff.
Wow. Nice.
Oh. Lauren Lapka from Lapland. That's right. You got that one right. Okay, Jim and Andrea, you guys ready? Here's
all right,
the headline.
Come on, Jim. We got this.
Florida man arrested for botched castration inside home.
Oh, ouch.
You know, you got to believe if it happens in Florida, it's going to be real. So, news.
Jim, I'm with you 100%. I thought the same thing. It's Florida. It's got to be news.
Florida's normally a trick question, but in this case, it is news.
No.
Yeah, all
we're
right,
all
Jim.
Over it. Woo-hoo. Sue and Kim.
Sue and Kim. Police shut down a 3,000-person hide-and-seek game at IKEA.
Well, that's ridiculous.
In between the Lufkinschlagen and the...
and the meatballs.
And the meatballs.
Oh, the meatballs.
I got a garbage can there.
What do you think? I mean, it would be a great place to play hide-and-seek.
It
would. There's a lot of people to play hide-and-seek in a store.
I'm going to go Ruse.
I agree with you.
Oh, that was totally true.
Lufkinschlagen.
What better place to play hide-and-seek than IKEA?
Seriously.
A million beds,
cupboards, and like, yeah.
88-cent garbage cans. Come
right.
on.
All right, Jeff and Lauren, here's your headline. 3 in 8 Americans consider eating fast food in their car safer than eating in restaurants.
I could see that. I kind of think news. What do you think, Jeff?
I'll go with news.
Swing and a miss. Okay, Andrea and Jim. Apple's iPhone 11 Pro triggering fear of holes. Apple's iPhone 11 Pro triggering fear of holes.
What do you think, Jim?
Wow. I'm going to go with news.
I'm going to agree.
What do you think?
I agree.
Okay.
You got it!
All right, and you take the lead, Jim and Andrea, with 2 points. Jeff and Lauren with 1. Sue and Kim have 1. And we're going to come back right after the break and see who gets to win this edition of News or Ruse. Producer Jeff, give me a second.
You want to know what's going on in the news?
I wasn't sure if I had this read first. Thank you, Kim. Let's find out what's going
on. I take the blame for anything that goes wrong.
That's not on Kevin. That's on me.
Kevin's fault. Idiot Kevin.
Kim, it's on you.
The Supreme Court makes a ruling on asylum limits. We'll bring you the details coming up.
All right. We're in the middle of the News or Ruse. But first, watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin. It's all weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock. Andrea Darlis is our guest here for News or Ruse. She'll be featured in the Walk of Fame, the big event on Friday here for WGN, honoring her, Sam Weinstein, Marlene Wells, and John Williams. All very well-deserved distinctions and honors, and we're excited about that.
Well, I'm excited to play News-a-Roos. I've been asking Jeff and Brian to play News-a-Roos for, like 2 years now? And
does it live up to everything you had hoped and dreamed?
Yeah, no, the first time I ever played, I did terrible.
Yeah, you did. I remember that.
I think I was 0 for 3.
It's fitting a Walk of Fame news anchor's playing this week. And you're in the lead right now. You've gotten both.
You are. Jim and Andre have two. Jeff and Lauren with one. Sue and Kim with one. This is normally the Orion Samuelson round, but today it's the legendary voice of Chris Duffy, and he will lead us for this round. We have Sue and Kim first up, and here is your headline.
Florida preacher known as the meth minister temporarily blocked from ministering outside a Tallahassee clinic.
Oh, I think that's news.
Okay.
Oh, my word. All right, Jeff and Lauren, let's see if we can do better. We've got, here is your headline.
Man jailed for giving his girlfriend a wet willy.
Oh, my. Well, since it was ruse last time, I feel like this might be news.
Let's go with news.
You got it. All right. 2 points now for Jeff and Lauren. Jim and Andrea already there. And so get this one right. Are we close to them winning? You win if you get this one right.
You can
all
clinch right, and walk a fame week, Andrea. Okay. A lot of pressure.
This is walk big. Week. Woo. Here's the headline.
Okay.
CDC warns people not to kiss chickens.
Not sure why you want to do that. What do you think?
Boy, Jim, what do you think? I think that's news, but I'm going to go with what you think.
So do I.
Okay.
I'm going with news,
same page.
Too.
We got this, Jim.
News?
News.
You got it! Jim and Andrea, you win!
All right, Jim. Chicken dinner on the chicken store.
All right, like Jim. That. Congratulations, Jim. You get the Green Tea Home Services $75 gift certificate and the $25 gift certificate to Lumanati's. All of our other players, the runners-up, get the $25 gift certificate to Lumanati's. So stand by and we'll get those prizes to you. Andrea, you got a lot of people coming this Friday?
I do. I have some family coming and some friends from college. It should be a nice time. Yeah. I'm looking forward
you've
to it.
You've got your Illini orange on today. I think every time I've seen you since you took the position,
she's
with
wearing blue and
orange. I'm wearing the orange.
I have noticed
it's
this.
Not on purpose. It just happens to be, you know,
it's fitting.
Last few days of summer. So I thought I'd try and get all the, you know how that is, Anna. Try and get all the dresses out before winter.
It's so true. I do. Dresses. I have my summer stuff I'm trying to cycle through pretty quickly because not many more days. Not many.
I know. It's going to be a beautiful week, though.
Let me ask you, does a time like this make you sort of think back at your career and the things you've achieved and the big moments and the things you've been able to cover over the years? We've heard those promos on the air, and I think they capture you so well. I even told Chris Duffy this the other day because it captures your enthusiasm about the job, your curiosity, and just the broad range of things of subject matter you've been able to cover over the years.
It's been
remarkable.
It has been nothing short of remarkable. I'm just so fortunate to have covered the stories that I covered. I mean, again, and you know, you understand this, Anna, everything from corruption trials of two governors who thought we'd cover that to Oprah's last show to funerals for sports legends. I mean, everything just has its place, and it's just it's an absolute honor, and I can't say this enough to be just mentioned in the same sentence in the same breath as everybody who is in the Walk of Fame, and I'm just completely honored and blown away.
You have a favorite, I know it can be tough for news anchors covering such horrible stories at times and tragic stories, but do you have a favorite, I guess, positive story or something that sticks out over your run that says, I can't believe I got to do that?
Oh, boy. I would say Oprah's last show was one of those because, there's cool stories that you cover all over the place. And when I was at TV, I got to do a lot of cool features and, you know, cover fun things like go-karting and things like that. But Oprah's last show for me, and I have to also say, Kevin, the year that, and you started this coverage, too, with me, you, and Steve, we went to the caucuses in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
And 2016.
And Ro was there and Anna.
Ro
was
and
such
Anna?
A fun,
yeah.
fun, I never knew the caucuses could be such a good time.
Oh, I didn't either.
I had a blast there. Fun? Maybe it's because of the crew we went with, but. Yeah. I want to go every time, every year. I thought it was
too.
A blast.
I think we should, from the first day where we stopped at the truck stop, the IED truck stop,
right.
to we're all just like with each other. And that whole year, I would say that that's probably the most historic presidential election, in addition to Obama's speech, both of Obama's wins and then his speech in Grant Park. But that for me was just one full year of culmination from the primary to the conventions to election night in New York with Clinton headquarters. It was just that that to me was a culmination of one of the best years of news coverage.
Well, I know you'll be bombarded Friday with friends and families, and congratulations. So I was lucky to work with you just for a couple short years as well. So congratulations to you,
Kevin. Me too. You started out as our producer. You're big time sports anchor now.
I remember the first day Kevin did sports on the air, and we were all very supportive because he was excited about it. Yes. And it was, you know, and look at how far he's come.
And he did so good.
Now I'm producing, telling us all to break again. Back to my producer. Congrats, Andrea.
I gotta thank you guys. And Anna,
let me just mention this one text here. Great to hear Andrea Darlis. She's the best class act. You're long overdue for the Walk of Fame. And so a lot of people feel that way about you, having listened to you for so many years. And so that I just wanted to mention that comment. So
thank you very much, you guys. I appreciate it.
Congrats, AD.
And Andrea, you know I'm sending you the best, and you are the best. I've worked with you since I've been here in early mornings and election nights, and it's just, it wouldn't be the same without you.
Kim, ditto to you and Anna. I learn from you guys all the time, and I just admire both of you very much.
I gotta say, working mornings with people, you brings out can bring out who you really are, and are who you are, Andrea. You're just that person. So
thank you, Anna.
Congratulations. We'll see you on Friday.
See you then.
And well deserved. We've got Kim's news coming up in 2 minutes.